A landmark court case begins this week over the future of app stores on mobile phones. Plus, Activision has decided everyone they should employ should work on Call of Duty. Tonight is May 2nd, 2021, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. Hello. Welcome to the first Sunday in May here in 2021. Where's the time gone? I guess. I don't know. Some weeks have been long, some weeks haven't. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on Twitch. Welcome. Thank you. This is not a waste of time. Thank you so much for being here. But if not, I completely understand. Other things are going on. We do tape this show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You can join us live, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But if you can't, which I completely understand, there's other stuff going on Sunday nights with family, with other things on television. I completely get it. You can join us all during the week on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. And you can actually submit topics. And if enough people bring something up, I'll be like, fine, I'll talk about it during the show this week. So thank you so much for listening or watching or however you are here. Spending the time whenever it is during the week is amazing. So that's where you can get in touch with us. But if you are watching on Twitch tonight, you probably noticed that there is something behind me. I usually put something on the I call it the set, but it's really my office. It's really my desk. I actually work here all throughout the week. I spend a lot of time in this room, in this chair. But I put behind me, I've got a movie behind me called Hackers. And it's on Laserdisc because, of course, it's on Laserdisc. Of course, I have it on Laserdisc. So it's on Laserdisc. And this is a 1995 movie. And it's actually one of my favorite movies about hackers. And it's because you got to realize it takes a very visual interpretation. It is not a lifelike interpretation of hacking. But it was, for the longest time, one of the best visual representations of what hacking could be and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed the movie. It has like Angelina Jolie in it. It has, I remember Penn Jillette is a hacker talking about rabbits and worms and stuff like that. And there's a very specific reason I have Hackers on here behind me. Tireclaw says Hackers came out the same year as Mortal Kombat and both feature the same song from Orbital. Yes, but that's not why tonight I am actually showing you Hackers behind me, because Hackers came out on September. Its release date in the United States in the movie theaters was September 15th, 1995. Now, tonight is May 2nd, 2021. And just so everybody knows, September 15th, 1995 was 1,336 weeks ago. That is right. It was leet weeks ago that the movie Hackers came out in the United States. And so congratulations, Hackers, for being you and for me actually seeing somebody post this meme like an hour ago. And I'm like, I have Hackers on Laserdisc. I know how I'm opening the show. So Quad Coach says Bobby was only four when Hackers came out. Yes. Yes, I was only four because I am obviously just 29 years old. And Fizzstream says, I need to watch it this week. You should. Crash Override, Acid Burn, Zero Cool. I mean, all these amazing, Hack the Planet, all these memes, all these things. It's as long as you go into it knowing that it's a visual ideation of hacking and computer hacking and stuff like that, because actual hacking on screen is boring. And just go in kind of just, you know, with it's a popcorn flick. It's actually quite enjoyable. If you want a movie that actually shows what hacking really looks like, fast forward 6 years to the movie Antitrust. Because Antitrust, it had, I forget exactly who was in Antitrust, but it was one of the first movies where the creator of one of the Linux desktops, I think it's the GNOME desktop, actually was a consultant on the movie, and they actually used real Linux screens and text boxes and commands and everything to do the hacking. And this is much more fun. Hackers is much more fun than Antitrust, because Antitrust actually shows people doing real hacking. And it's not as cool as the 3D generated graphics that the movie studio came up with for Hackers. And Fifth Dream DS says Fisher Stevens is playing the old uncool hacker, but he's still on a skateboard, if I remember correctly, in Hackers. Antitrust, that movie, was more about open source software versus closed software. Like, there's definitely a Microsoft Bill Gates character, and then the main character in Antitrust is an open source, code should be free, Richard M. Stallman type, but not actually Richard M. Stallman, but, you know, a young kid that's, you know, following in the footsteps of the open source, the free software movement, and stuff like that, going up against big bad Microsoft, which is a different, not called Microsoft in the movie, but yeah. Questor says, Sneakers is also good. It did everything from social engineering to crypto and ended with the message that whoever controlled the information controlled everything. So, yes. So, that's there was a lot of good movies. But Hackers is the one that came out leet weeks ago. And so, that is why I opened the show. And we're going to have Hackers behind me the entire night. And Targo says, oh, so that's where the term Hack the Planet came from. Yes, they're trashing our rights. Hack the Planet. And that's what the dude kept yelling, that they're trashing our rights, because he threw the 3.25-inch or the 3.5-inch floppy disk in the trash can. Did I just spoil something for you from a movie that's been around for 1,337 weeks? I think I did. I apologize. I'm going to move on to talk about stuff that happened this week or this past week. Actually, last week. We had a show last week, obviously. What I like to do is try to read comments from previous episodes, just in case people couldn't be here live or couldn't participate live. And E3 Vale did that, and it was only just one comment about the story that we talked about last week. It was about the Humble Bundle store, how Humble Bundle is removing the sliders that you used to denote how much goes to charity, how much goes to the Humble Store, how much goes to the developers and publishers. And you used to be able to do like 100% to charity and stiff everybody else, which is what I did. And I said, I'm the worst person. And I said, everybody else was better than I was. And E3VL came to my defense and said that, no, I am not the worst person. He says, I'm the worst offender to Humble Bundle, saying E3VL. Stopped purchasing from them once they dropped the $1 donation minimum and started selling games like a digital storefront with donations in mind. And that's really what Humble Bundle is now. They're a key reseller where 5 to 15% of your money, yes, it goes to charity. And you can still choose the charity, because I actually have the Project Pinball charity selected. So when I went to a bundle, it showed me that, but it didn't show me the breakdown that much, or I think it did, and I don't know. But I was still able to denote which charity it went to, but I couldn't send all the money to that charity. The Breakman says, I never bought a Humble Bundle. No, I had, and I actually had recently bought a Humble Bundle, but, not anymore, I guess, unless like it's a really good deal. But like, I usually went to Humble Bundle because it went to, I could take it, make it all go to charity, and now I can't do that. So the big news, I guess, that people wanted me to talk about, because I think like three different people brought this to my attention this week, and they're like, by the way, you should talk about this. It's about a big court case, a landmark court case that's going to be finally starting this week. So The Verge reports that after months of preparation, Epic Games will finally take on Apple in court in a trial that could fundamentally change the makeup of the App Store. The fight dates back to August, so when Epic added a direct payment mechanism to its hit battle royale game Fortnite in violation of Apple's rules. The iPhone maker quickly removed the game from the App Store, and Epic responded shortly with an antitrust lawsuit aiming to establish the App Store as a monopoly. The case will finally be brought to trial starting on May 3rd, so that is tomorrow. at least when we do this. It was a couple days ago, if you listen to the podcast. The trial promises to deliver huge revelations about the inner workings of one of the biggest and most influential companies in the world, with testimony from Apple CEO Tim Cook, Craig Federighi. I didn't look up how to pronounce that name. I apologize. Phil Schiller, Epic CEO Tim Sweeney, and more. We've also already made some fascinating discoveries from documents published ahead of the trial, and there's more to be, sure to be lots of news ahead. So what Epic is claiming is that Apple having an app store on their device is a monopoly, and that Epic feels that they should be able to install their own app store like they can on Android, even though I know that Epic and Google are fighting things out too. They feel that they should be allowed to have their own app store and take their own cut and offer programs for iPhone users that don't go through the Apple process. I almost said security process, but I don't think Apple does much of that, unfortunately, because there's so many apps they have to review that they don't really do a good job of making sure that all the bad stuff stays off their store. But they do absolutely make sure that you can't make money without it going through Apple first. And that's where Epic's problem lies, is that that Apple takes 30% of any kind of money that Epic sells of, like, Fortnite V-Bucks. If they buy it using their iPhone, Apple takes a 30% cut of that, which is also why if you subscribe to our Twitch channel of Vogue Network and you do it over your iPhone or even over Google, if you do it over your mobile phone, it's actually more expensive. It's actually cheaper to open up your browser, go log into Twitch, and then subscribe to us that way. It'll save like a buck. And it's for the same reason. It's because Apple needs their 30% cut, and so Twitch passes that cut to you, the user, so that way Twitch doesn't lose money. The Breakman says it's crappy to take 30%, but it takes kind of feels like to me that it's their right. Tireclaw says the outcome of this case will have repercussions for the App Store. This case is going to have repercussions for the app store, just no matter which way it goes, even if they settle it. S. Jared Man says, maybe I think dirty laundry will be aired, but I don't think much will change. I think what's going to happen is more things are going to come out to the public. And so it's going to the court of public opinion is going to have more information rather than just blind loyalty to their favorite corporate overlord, which is essentially what any fanboy stuff is nowadays. It's, you know, which corporate overlord do you love the most and want to lick the boots of most? That's what console wars are. That's what mobile phone wars are. That's what operating system wars are. That's all they are. Breakman's like, wait, Bobby got a button. Yes, I did. Because I figured I needed it with you people. So that's starting up this week. And there's going to be a lot that we're going to learn about Apple and about other players in the space, about what they do. So one of the things we thought we learned, and in fact, this got posted to my Discord back when it came out in documents, and we're like, ooh, Microsoft's going to do this. Microsoft's doing something. And it turns out maybe not so much. The Verge reports that Microsoft had been planning to cut its Xbox Store cut to just 12%, according to confidential documents filed in the Epic Games vs. Apple case. The software maker details its store fees and changes in a document from January where it also lists the 12% cut to PC games it announced this week. While most of the important parts of the document are redacted, one page reveals Microsoft also wanted to reduce its 30% store cut on the Xbox console side. A table on this reveals that all games will move to 88-12 in CY21, which is their calendar year 21 is what that means, which means Microsoft has been planning a significant cut to Xbox transactions for some point in the 2021 calendar year. While Microsoft has announced its PC cut, it is also listed in the same table, the company has stayed quiet about any Xbox plans. A change to 12% would be significant, especially because Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo all currently take 30% of digital game sales. So really, the console manufacturers are no different than the mobile phone manufacturers. They all take 30%, but on PC side, they're going to be things are changing where they're not taking 30% of the cut. Steam still takes about 30% for most people, unless you're a high performer, and then they take less of a cut. A Microsoft spokesperson initially said, "We have no plans to change the revenue share for console games at this time," in a statement to The Verge on Saturday before issuing a cleaner statement on Sunday. They say, quote, "We will not be updating the revenue split for console publishers," unquote, says a Microsoft spokesperson. Microsoft still refuses to answer whether the document is inaccurate or simply that plans have changed. So this document is part of the Epic Games versus Apple trial that commences on Monday, tomorrow. And there could be questions over Microsoft's fee plans here. Both Epic and Apple are calling on Microsoft's Lori Wright, VP of Xbox Business Development, as a third-party witness next week. So this is a part of this that's been kind of interesting. Microsoft has also been quietly backing Epic Games' action against Apple. I'm not surprised, but kind of surprised, but not really. Microsoft and Apple kind of have a history. Microsoft has previously defended its 30% cut for Xbox digital game sales, and Epic Games has been happy to keep it in place. Rima Alili, I don't know how to pronounce that, I apologize, Deputy General Counsel at Microsoft said, quote, "Game consoles are specialized devices optimized for a particular use," unquote. The deputy general counsel argues that the, quote, "business model for game consoles is very different to the ecosystem around PCs or phones. Because Microsoft subsidizes the hardware and consoles are vastly outnumbered in the marketplace by PCs and phones," unquote. An Epic Games executive also revealed in a court deposition this past week that the company has never sought to negotiate with Microsoft to avoid using its commerce engine on Xbox. Despite defending its Xbox cut, Microsoft did admit last year that the company has, quote, "more work to do to establish the right set of principles for game consoles," unquote. So the funny thing is, like, it's okay. So Epic's position is that it's okay for Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo to take 30% for their device. It's not okay for Apple to take 30% for their device because their device does more than one thing. And I am going to be very interested to hear the cross-examination for Epic, whoever, like for Tim Sweeney or whoever, the cross-examination from Apple's lawyer as to why is it okay for Microsoft to charge 30% but for the Xbox, but not for Apple to charge 30% for the iPhone. I am going to be very interested to hear the answer if that is allowed to be asked, because I'm pretty sure I've watched enough court dramas on television to know that the first thing, if that question gets asked, the first thing the Epic lawyer is going to say is, "Objection, Your Honor." And then we'll see if it's sustained or not, and we'll see if he has to answer that question. But I would be very interested to hear under oath on the stand why it's okay for everybody to do this except for Apple. Why is Apple the only one company not allowed to do this? The Breakman says, that's like interviewing a politician, how they're going to talk out of both sides of their mouths. Yes, but this is literally under oath in a courtroom. And the judge, hopefully, will make you talk out of just one mouth and force you to answer the question. Or the lawyers can continue to try to ask until they get to badgering the witness and then the objection and all that stuff. Fifth Room says, the Apple logo has a bite out of it. What do you expect? But apples are tasty. Anyway, this is going to have huge repercussions in the industry of mobile phones, really. This is not really more about the game industry, even though it is a game that is causing all this. But it is also kind of telling that this past week, Epic Game Store actually added some other store apps. This was actually two weeks ago. I didn't cover it. But the itch.io store can now be accessed through the Epic Game Store on PC, which led to some people think that, you know, now you can buy itch.io games on the Epic Game Store. No, you can't. What you do is you can get download the free itch.io launcher, an app, instead of going to itch.io and downloading it from the browser and installing it to your machine. You can install it and keep it updated through the Epic Games launcher. That's all they're really doing. But now Epic can say, look, we are supporting other storefront platforms on the Epic Game Store. We're talking the we're walking the walk. We're not just talking the talk. And that happened about 2 weeks ago. And I think that was done so Epic could come into this court battle saying, look, we're the good guys here. The Breakman says everybody hates Apple. But Questbuster says Apple users love Apple. And that's the thing, is that Apple has such a devoted fan base and such a fanatical fan base because Apple is cool. Apple has made a lot of technologies cool. It's why I always bring up that I can't wait for Apple to invent something that's already been around for a long time because, you know, like VR. I mean, Apple, once Apple comes out with their virtual reality device, VR will be mainstream. But Apple needs to invent it first. Just like most of the things, most of the features that you get on your iPhone are features that people with Samsung phones have had for years, but they're not groundbreaking until they show up in the iPhone. And, you know, tablet computers, touchscreen tablet computers, the first ones came out in the 90s. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted one. Bill Gates held up one in like 1999 and everybody laughed him off the stage. Then Steve Jobs, about 8 or 9 years later, holds up an iPad and everybody goes crazy and the iPad is going to replace computers. So Apple users love Apple. And they're going to defend Apple to the end of the earth. And Tireclaw even says smartwatches became cool once Apple invented it. And it's the same thing. It's because Fitbits existed and were watches and stuff. And you know, there were other watches that connected to Android, but it wasn't until the Apple Watch came out that everybody's like, hey, I should put a watch on, which, you know, is funny because I used to wear a watch all the time until I got a phone. And I'm like, I don't need to wear a watch to tell time. I can just pull my phone up and it's right up here. You're going to have a lot of fanboys on both sides. But yeah, I find it funny. Like now everybody's back to wearing digital watches. And I'm like, I used to wear a watch so much that you could actually see the watch imprint because like the rest of my skin would be tan except for the part with my watch. And it was kind of it wasn't a smartwatch, but it was a digital watch. The watch that I had, and I don't think it's like, I there's part of me thinking like it's in this drawer that I'm like, that you can't see, but it's like right here at my desk. I don't think it's in here, so I'm not going to dig for it, but it was called, and this was in the 90s. When I was like 5 years old, obviously. And it's called the Timex Data Link. And I don't know if you never heard of this watch, what it was. It was a digital watch, but it had a little light camera on it. And what you could do is there was a piece of software that ran in like Windows 95 that you could use to put in dates, you know, like calendar dates. You could put in phone numbers. Because this was back before we actually had cell phones, so you needed to actually like look up people's phone number and dial like 7 digits or maybe 10 digits, depending on, you know, your area code. And you had to pay long distance charges per minute if they were outside your area code. Yeah, fun times. But then what happened is that they would say, okay, hold your watch up to the screen, and then a whole bunch of lines would show up on your screen and would basically be flashing data through the monitor to your watch. And I had that thing for years. So it finally died for the last time, and I'm like, I don't need this anymore. But that's what it looked like for the people on the Twitch feed. And so there's a little like circle at the top of it, and that would be what you would hold up to the screen to flash information to the watch, and you would store you would store contacts. I remember, you know, I could flip through phone numbers, dates, You could change, you know, what time zones. You could even have, like, multiple world time zones on there. I loved this thing. I had to get the battery replaced, like, 3 or 4 times. So, so this was my digital watch. And then I didn't need a digital watch anymore. And then Douglas Adams cried because Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, would always talk about our fascination with digital watches. And now we don't really, now we're back to wearing digital watches. They're just now smart. ActF says, I'm amazed how Apple hasn't gotten gaming right yet, all things considered, speaking of consoles and PC gaming. You wouldn't say that to somebody who has Apple Arcade, especially because there's the new new RPG, the Square Enix RPG, that looks like it's in a diorama, and I'm blanking on the name of it right now because I don't have an Apple device to play it on. So, but there's a lot of people that are loving that. And a lot of people are loving the offerings on Apple Arcade. So they're just taking a different path, just like how Nintendo takes a different path from the rest of the industry. But I wouldn't say that they're getting it wrong. They're doing it their own way. And games aren't their bread and butter. Apple has always said that, you know, no, we aren't a gaming machine. That's why you can't do VR on a Mac. Because Apple won't put in the video cards that are needed to do high-end VR. Their video cards are optimized for video production for Final Cut Pro or Premiere or something like that, or photo editing, or, you know, professional uses that would need graphics horsepower, but not necessarily 3D high frames per second, stuff like that. Tireclaw says Apple has its Apple TV devices. You can probably play games on it. Yes, you can play Apple Arcade games on the Apple TV. Pretty sure you can. I'm pretty sure you can. I don't own one, so I can't say definitely, but I'm pretty sure, like, Apple TV, MacBooks, you can play the Apple Arcade games on, iPads, iPhones, stuff like that. So, speaking of getting games right or wrong, I don't know. Let's pour one out, I guess. F's in the chat, or not really. Well, kind of F's in the chat. Now, I will have to tell you a story about that, about this, before I get into this story. Because I just remembered about the pour one out and the F's in the chat. At my day job, we had, during our company meeting, we have one every week over Zoom because we're a remote company. We had, like, updated something marketing wise, and there was the old version had, like, this cool video. And I wrote in the chat room, oh, F's in the chat for the old video. And, like, you know, a bunch of my coworkers put in F's. And our marketing director pulled me aside, and she's like, what does this mean? What does F's in the chat mean? Because she thought I was, like, making, like, a fail joke or something like that. And I'm like, no. It's young kid speak for pour one out for the homie. She's like, oh, okay, I get it now. Okay. The break man says, pour one out, why am I wasting booze? Well, because Video Game Chronicle reports that Toys for Bob has announced it is supporting Call of Duty Warzone development amid claims of layoffs at the Activision-owned studio. The Novato, California-based developer, which made 2018's Spyro Reignited Trilogy and 2020's Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, tweeted to say that, quote, it's proud to support development for Season 3 of Call of Duty Warzone and look forward to more to come, unquote. Raven Software, who worked on Warzone and Modern Warfare studio Infinity Ward since the outset of the Battle Royale mode game development, tweeted back, quote, glad to have you on the project with us, unquote. So the announcement comes amid claims that a former contract character designer at Toys for Bob, not for me and not for the Blob, that the studio was recently hit with a round of layoffs. Nicholas Cole worked on Toys for Bob's recent Spyro and Crash games during over 3 years with the company before departing in January of 2021, according to the LinkedIn profile. Quote, it's the end of an era, but I wish my former coworkers still with Toys for Bob all the best with what's ahead. I'm very glad it's not a total shuttering. Everyone I interfaced with and worked along was let go, unquote. Ahead of the launch of Warzone Season 3 last week, Raven discussed how the game's massive success has impacted developments behind the scenes at the Madison, Wisconsin-based studio. The free-to-play Battle Royale game was seen as a smash hit since its March of 2020 launch, probably because we were all sitting at home. attracting 6 million players in 24 hours, 15 million in 3 days, 30 million in 10 days, 50 million in 1 month, 85 million in 9 months, and 100 million in 13 months. Probably because we were all sitting at home. To cope with the demands of the ballooning player base, co-developer Raven, which has contributed to every premium Call of Duty game released since 2010, had been a major recruitment drive over the past year. Creative director Amos Hodge told VGC in a Warzone interview published last week, to coincide with the launch of Season 3, quote, "I can tell you we've been hiring like crazy at Raven. We have jobs posted all over the place and we're looking for new talent. If any of your readers are out there or interested, we have more ideas than we can do." Warzone was a smash hit success. All the studios are helping on it, but it's also additional to our normal Call of Duty schedule. We have a normal Call of Duty schedule, and this is on top of that, so we've had to grow really fast, unquote. So this now means, at Activision, Infinity Ward, Treyarch, Raven Software, Sledgehammer Games, Beenox, High Moon Studios, Toys for Bob, Activision Shanghai, and Demonware, 9 studios are all working on Call of Duty right now. Most of them probably working on Call of Duty Warzone, which a lot of people are saying, well, why are they doing that? Because that's what everybody's playing. And why should Activision take a risk of releasing Crash, another Crash Bandicoot, where people even in our chat room are saying, I didn't, did anybody even touch Crash? Did anybody play? The Breakman asked, did anybody play or care about Crash 4? Why have them work on something that people are asking, did anybody even care? When they could be working on the cash cow that is keeping the company, that is basically the biggest game at the company. And as Jay Werner Matt says, he even points out, the next thing I was also going to bring up is that this isn't even the first time this has happened this year. Blizzard, which is Activision, did the same thing to Vicarious Visions. They did the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. They wanted to do another one, but now Vicarious Visions pretty much no longer exists. Vicarious Visions is now just completely integrated into Blizzard Entertainment, and they're working on the Diablo 2 remake. And now Vicarious Visions is going to be working on Blizzard's IP. They're not going to be working on a new Tony Hawk. And I think Vicarious Visions did another game recently, and I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. SJ and Matt may remember, because it was like they did Tony Hawk's 1 and 2, and they did this other game, and they both like were critically praised, and now they're just going to work on Blizzard stuff. Like, as much as Vicarious Visions, like, it still exists, but it is now a Blizzard subsidiary, and they are working on Blizzard games. Questper says, Crash has had a lot more success this gen versus when it was looked down for the gen it was intended for. And ActF says, this is unfair not only to us, but to the developers themselves. Esther and Matt says they did all the Skylanders games. That's what it was. So Vicarious Visions did all the Skylanders stuff, which also Toys for Bob did a little bit of. They did the Skylanders game. I think Vicarious Visions even did some of the later or some of the early Guitar Hero. I think they were involved in the Guitar Hero franchise at one point, along with Neversoft. So, yeah. So Vicarious Visions did a lot of great work, and they're like, great, now you can do great work for Diablo and Warcraft. So apparently a lot of people got laid off at Toys for Bob, because honestly, if you're going to be working on Warzone, you're not going to need artists that are specialized in making cutesy kitty graphics, as much as I hate to say it, but more cartoonish graphics, because Call of Duty is definitely not a cartoonish graphics game. So if you have art talent that is really great at drawing animated characters, little, cute little purple dragons, stuff like that, they're not very useful when developing content for a Call of Duty. And so, obviously, they are going to be reassigned and stuff like that. So, hopefully, they all land on their feet. The game industry, unfortunately, is very, very good at reaching out to people who get laid off, because it happens so often. And they've probably already, got out all the lists saying, all right, let's get the Excel. Who's hiring? Who wants this? Who wants that? Escher and Matt says, but it's okay. Bobby Kotick took a pay cut. Yes, the Activision CEO, Bobby Kotick, was announced this week. He took a big pay cut of his salary. However, what they don't tell you is that he recently renegotiated his contract with Activision, and he gets a much, 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 much larger bonus now. So it's a wash. Like, he's probably going to actually go home. He will take home a lot more money than he did. It's just now more in bonuses than it is in base salary. The Breakman says, Call of Duty won't last forever. No, nothing lasts forever, but you definitely want to ride out the success as much as you can. And, you know, it is possible at some point Call of Duty will no longer be a franchise that people care about, but that time sure ain't now, and the shareholders need money now. And it's not, they're not looking at this for long-term success. They're looking at this for short-term games. And Questmaster says, Kotick's salary cut was largely symbolic. He has millions of shares in performance-vested stock that he has not converted over yet. And the Brickman says, just like every CEO that takes a pay cut, they find other ways to make that money back. And ActDev says, game developers need to unionize. That I don't think that would have saved this. That honestly wouldn't have saved this, because if the publisher is gets reassigned, if the developer house gets reassigned, there's not much the union can say about it. If a car plant decides they're going to start making aerospace and airplanes and work in aerospace engineering, there's not much the automotive union can say about that. Now, S. Jerry Matt says they do need to unionize for other reasons than that. That I agree with. So we are going to take a quick music break, which, you know, just so people know, I'm taking it earlier this week, just in case someone actually wants to call in on the other side of this music break. So I'm going to open up the Discord server. So if you're on our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, hop into the Green Room voice chat channel. That way I can see that you're in there. And if there's somebody in there on the other side of the break, I'll actually take a call. And we can talk about anything this week, last week. Did you play new Pokemon Snap? I haven't. But we can talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Wait, you don't know Kamoshida? You for real?
For real?
For real?
For real?
What up, everybody? This is Max Mittleman, voice of Saitama and One Punch Man, Ryuji in Persona 5, King in Seven Deadly Sins, and a whole host of other characters. You are participating in the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Get it!
For real?
For real?
For real?
For real?
For real?
Conventions are coming back. I hope. Hopefully. They'll come back, and we'll be able to do that type of stuff again. That was from Dragon Con. Last time we had a Dragon Con, for real, in 2019. Right now, it's still on. 2021 Dragon Con in September. Still planned. We'll know really 60 days before if that's actually going to happen, for real. But if you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is just contact me either over Twitter, over at Bobby Blackwolf, or on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. And we'll work out some way to get you here and get you on the show. So guess what, y'all? We actually have someone in the room. We're actually going to take a call for real. And so I'm going to pull this in. We're going to hope that this actually still works. I hope it works. So we're going to bring this in and see who's on the air here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this Act Deft.
Act Deft, what's up, man?
Well, a lot of things have happened, but especially new Pokemon Snap.
Yes, so I actually have never played the original either, but new Pokemon Snap is up. So what do you think of it?
Well, if you have never played the original, there's not much that I can add that pretty much can make a comparison. But it definitely for those who have, it blows it out of the water. Like, completely. The old one feels it feels like bad in comparison to this new one. Now, for anyone that, for, because especially of the price tag, $60 is obviously seems too much for a game like this. Mm-hmm. I can safely say that I gladly paid for this $60, and I'm not regretting it at all.
So for people who maybe haven't played it before, what is it?
Basically, the gameplay of Pokemon Snap is taking pictures of Pokemon in their natural habits. Like you're in the jungle, you're in the forest, you're in the desert, you're in the sea, you're in the reefs. You explore volcanoes. You have so many locations now on the game. Which, again, comparison to the old one, it's pretty much the same in those aspects. But the thing here is that every location has distinct paths. So you basically can go to the same path and discover new things. Like, and this is from my perspective, because I have played around 10 hours or so during this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I haven't finished the story. I haven't finished the game at all. And I haven't even explored like all the locations, and there's still stuff that I find, like going back to the first few maps or locations, and I'm still finding new stuff. So it's like really, really amazing how they worked out something that the original pretty much lacked, because the original you could finish in like 3 or 4 hours, and I mean like 100%. In this case, again, I'm like 10 hours in, and I think I'm not even halfway through it. Like, it's amazing how the game, like, even though it kind of feels like padding in some ways, but it still is like discovering all that stuff, like, and like really watching the Pokemon act and doing really, really cool stuff, really cute stuff too. It's like really, really good in those aspects. So for people that don't play Pokemon, I wouldn't probably recommend it, because if you don't like Pokemon, it's like you're gonna find like this like whatever. But if you're mildly interested, if you're like a casual Pokemon fan, I can easily recommend this game like a whole lot, because again, it's like fun, it's relaxing too. It's like you don't need like to know what a Pokemon attack is, or what type it is, what it needs to do. No, you just take the picture, and you take, and the game did something that I can critique the game in some ways, that not every photo is like good, even if you think it is. The game has a really not necessarily weird way to do it, but it's not necessarily that straightforward. But still, you can have fun, like, editing the photos, posting them online, posting them to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, like, whatever. So, again, the game is so simplistic in some ways, but so vast in so many ways, too. So, again, I've been loving it a lot.
So, I have watched streams of it, and I'm actually I'm showing the VOG stream from Friday night of this. It seems like it's very easy to spend more time like going through your photos than actually in the game. So is that just kind of more in the early game when you're getting used to it, or do you really spend more time editing than you do actually taking the photos?
For me personally, I have been spending more time, like going through the levels, like many times, like again, discovering new stuff, taking better photos or stuff like that, rather than editing. But the little time I spent editing photos, it can take you a while. It can be time consuming, but again, it is fun because the game does offer you some options to do so. Like there's filters, there's stickers, there's stuff that you can use like in normal social media. But there's also some professional tools like zooming in, like the brightness of the photo, all that stuff that's pretty much more technical. You can also do that. And then again, it's like not necessarily Photoshop levels of professionalism, but it's still like really fun to just like play with those settings and and just spend a little time with it. It's not necessarily like the meat and bones of the game, but it's something nice to have too.
Yeah. And it seems like this is one of those games you can kind of pick up if you have like 5 or 10 minutes, you can go just do a run and then put it back down.
Yeah, pretty much too. It's like really easy to play some, at least 30 minutes, do some runs, take some photos and be done with it. And pretty much like I have to do other stuff. I want to play other games and then come back the next day and do more stuff. And again, because of how the replayability plays out here in this game, it's like, again, you're discovering new stuff. You open new areas. You see more Pokemon every time you level up each area too. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like really, really cool to see this game like being fleshed out like that. Yeah. And hopefully there's DLC in the future. So maybe.
Yeah, and I like how it's called, every time I see the name of the little vehicle that you're in, which is called the Neo One, the way they stylize it, I'm like, I always get the Neo Geo vibes because that's the same way the Neo Geo was written. And I'm like, I know they didn't do anything like that, but that would have been cool for my 29-year-old heart. But yeah, no, I thought it was also interesting. Like, there's even like boss battles, and like this is a first-person shooter. You're just shooting through a camera in first person, but there were even boss battles in it.
To spoil a little, not necessarily big spoilers, but spoiling a little bit of the game, there's unintentional deaths, like actual unintentional deaths that you can see, and it doesn't happen on screen, but you can pretty much imagine what happens. So yeah. It's like.
Well, I mean, we are stealing their souls, right? This is Fatal Frame, just in Pokemon form, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So you're loving it. I actually have it on a wish list. I haven't gone out to get it yet, but I do have it on my Amazon wish list because I turned 29 again this month. So we'll see. We'll see if somebody does that. But because I never played the original, but I was kind of entranced and relaxed by this when I was watching the stream.
Yeah, this is a game, again, that anyone can enjoy. And if you like Pokemon at least a little, you'll appreciate what it does. Like, again, it's like really, really relaxing, really fun, and enjoyable overall. It's like, I cannot recommend it enough, again, to anyone who likes Pokemon, again, at least a little. If you like Pikachu, there's Pikachu in the game. You're gonna like that, so... Yeah, again, you're going to discover more stuff and you're going to love it even more for all it does. Again, simplistic, but it does what it does really well.
The one thing I can say that confused me, and it was only because I was watching the VOG stream that we did Friday night that explained this to me, is that the stars aren't necessarily that the 4-star is a better photo than the 3-star. It's they're different poses and they use the number of stars to denote the poses. And that makes no sense to me, but it's Pokemon.
It's weird. The stars, it's more like a pose or an action rather than a score. The score is depending on the color of the star you get. So if you get a diamond star, that's the best score you can get. It's kind of weird, but once you get used to it, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So
you just roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You roll an apple at it, at its butt. And take a picture of it, which is what Rob did. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for filling that in, because I had not played new Pokemon Snap. I only just watched other people play it, which apparently is a waste of time, according to some people. We're not going to get into that. Thank you so much for your calling in and filling me in on it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, thank you. That is what it's like to have calls here on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for that. I should be doing that more often, but sometimes I just talk too much. But thank you so much. If you want to call in a future episode, that's how you do it, is you go into the Green Room voice chat channel over at our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, and we can talk about whatever you want to call in about. And it doesn't even have to be something I talked about on the show, because sometimes I don't get to talk about everything. But people who talk about things for much, much longer than I do, it's Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, like I said. But they don't take calls right now because they're still socially distanced. But soon that might change, and then you'll be able to call into them as well. But Sacramento, are you there?
I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So you did a stream earlier. You played
yes.
Pokemon, new Pokemon Snap.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you concur with ActF's thoughts on it?
I think it's super cute. Like, I think the point that came up during your guys' call about, I think it's a good game to kind of pick up maybe for like a 10 to 15 minute burst where you just kind of run a lap through one of the levels and, you know, submit the photos and all that, especially considering that you can use motion controls if you want to do it that way. I'm not a big fan of doing it that way, but I know that's a thing. I think it really kind of lends itself well to what the Switch is all about. I haven't sunk the hours into it that Deft has, but I still think my opinion of the game is favorable. It takes a lot of what I liked about the original version and just, you know, makes it very 2021.
Yeah. So, and speaking of that, I don't know if how many people have noticed. Okay, so we have raised, because I'm going to be doing possibly another bonus stream. So there are there's Channel Point rewards for VHS Gaming Tape 2, so I'm going to go back into some gaming tapes. I didn't say this at the beginning of the show, but I've got some VHS tapes from E3 2000, 2001 home movies that I've taken, and we are like 6,000 points away, which we're probably going to hit. If we don't hit it during my show, we're going to hit it at the beginning of the OLR.
Yeah, you'll hit it once OLR starts, I'm sure.
So now I got to figure out when to do it, which will still probably be in like 3 weeks, because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it this Wednesday because we don't have enough time to promote it. And I'm not going to do it next Wednesday because I'm turning 29 again. So I'm not going to spend time when I'm turning 29 again to do it. So it'll probably be the week after. Maybe we'll hit it. We're now 4,000 away. Thank you so much for ever that. So yeah, but yeah,
that's fine, because I still have to think of what we're going to produce next. I think I know what we're going to do, and I haven't told you. Well, I think I ran it. I don't remember, but it's another idea. And yeah, I think that's what we're going to do next. I'll tell you more about it offline. But the 3 weeks would give me time to come up with something better. But I do want to point out the Pokemon Snap stream was not a Channel Points reward. That was really just an appreciation stream, like, you know, wanting to create more content just because you guys have been so great. You always have since the very beginning, but especially so in these last few months during lockdown, the likes, the subscriptions, the biddies, and all that stuff. It's really motivating to create more content. So the Pokemon Snap stream was really a just because thing, and I'm hoping there's going to be more of that to come as well. Some more just, we want to make content because you guys are supporting us and motivating us to keep moving in that direction.
And I will just say, thanks to Dark Sakura, we just hit it.
There you go.
We're going to set air horns for that one. Thank you so much for that. So, yeah, so we'll schedule that. Probably it's going to be, what Wednesday is that? Is that like the 18th? May 18th? I think that's the Wednesday. So we'll plan on that date for that stream, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Keep a watch on our social media, on Discord. We'll even add it to Twitch, the little schedule thing on Twitch. And we can watch some old E3s a couple weeks before the next digital E3, I guess. But yes, I do want to point out that, like, a lot of people have been very generous with the subscriptions and bits. Rob and I looked at some of the numbers just for this year alone, and we are blown away by the support. And thank you so much for all that. But really, you being here is really the best thing. The fact that there are people out there, as I bump into my mic stand, the fact that people out there watching every week, it really does mean a lot. So Epic versus Apple starts this week. Are you excited?
I don't know if excited is the right word, but I'm curious. You know, certainly it's going to, you know, you kind of said it earlier on in the show, it's going to really set a precedent either way. I have tended to side with Apple in this whole debate. That's not just because I am an iPhone owner and I have that watch you were talking about, Bobby.
Yeah.
I really like to think it's not just about that, because I didn't have a great experience with their laptop. That was years ago. Mm-hmm. All that aside, I'm I kind of think what Epic did, and you have to remember the judge kind of said this the first time, like Epic knew what they were doing. They forced this discussion to happen. They were moving these chess pieces in such a way. And I don't think a judge is really going to buy that. Oh, 2 weeks ago you put itch.io in your store. Wow. You're just the good guys here, you know, and that whole thing. But I think when you pair this with what's going on in the UK, and the whole discussion about is, you know, Apple creating monopoly with the App Store and everything over there, I think it is going to shift the discussion a little bit to what really can an App Store kind of control, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it will be interesting to see what happens from there. But I really don't think any judge is going to mandate that Apple has to take Epic back. At the end of the day, Epic violated a contract and they have to sit on the naughty step for doing that. And I really, I could be wrong. I'm not a legal person. I don't even really watch Law and Order. I mean, I've seen Orange is the New Black, but that's after they go to jail. I don't know. Yeah. But I just don't see a court saying that Apple has to take Epic back under any circumstances. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some precedents that are set otherwise. But I feel like that's more likely to come from what's happening in the UK, kind of in addition to this, in addition to the pressures that Microsoft and some of these other companies that are dropping to the 12%. But I'm not sure it's even just about the percentage. It would be very interesting to see.
I really want to see Tim Sweeney's answer. And I hope that the cross-examination, I hope Apple's lawyers ask this, why is it okay? Because Apple has gone on record saying it's okay that Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony take 30% on the consoles. So why is that okay, and why is it not okay for Apple to do the same? Yeah. And I'd love to hear that answer, and I hope that there's no objections, or because, like, I don't watch Law and Order either. I've watched Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, and that's basically the extent of my legal television stuff. But it's going to be interesting to see the fallout from this, and I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't see a judge shaking it up too much, but I don't know. I guess I'm leaving the door open a crack to be wrong on that, because I could see that maybe some little precedents will be set with this. But yeah. Again, I just don't see it being you have to put Epic back on your store. I don't see how a judge could, you know, as a business, you have the right to refuse service to anyone. Essentially.
Well, I think what Epic actually wants is Epic wants to be able to put the Epic Store on iPhones without they want to have the Epic Store available to iPhone users. Not necessarily. They don't necessarily want Fortnite on the Apple Store. They want the Epic Store to be sitting next to the Apple Store. That's what Epic really wants. So.
But I think Apple has the right to say you broke your contract. No.
Yeah.
But could a judge change that precedent for the future? Potentially. But I think as far as Epic is concerned, their deal with Apple is done.
What I think the judge will be able to say is that Apple needs to change their architecture to allow a third party store to exist, much like how Android does it, where they do allow third party stores to exist to be accessible without jailbreaking. That's, I think, the precedent that Epic hopes for and that Apple doesn't hope for, because one of the things that Apple has going for it, which angers a lot of the other tech giants, especially those run by people named Zuckerberg, is that Apple is really going for the privacy. And you need that closed garden. You need that closed walled-off garden that is checked by Apple to have that security and to have that privacy. And you need to keep everybody inside that sandbox. And the minute you start allowing third-party stores to come in, that threatens the privacy. And that might make the iPhone a worse product for it, but it would be a more free product. So do you sacrifice freedom for privacy, you know, stuff like that? So it's more of that kind of question. And is Apple obligated to make their product less secure just so Epic can take 100% of their profits?
That's a great pro-Apple argument, especially in light of, I think, the privacy changes that you highlighted there. Mm-hmm. We all know Facebook, not a big fan of the privacy changes, but pretty much anyone who's using Apple products, big fan of those changes. And me, as somebody who is not a Facebook fan, I'm thrilled about what this has done to Facebook and really knocked them down a few pegs. Yeah, now they're threatening to charge for Facebook. I hope they do it. I hope they do it, and it'll be the thing that finally ends them.
Yep. I was also just saying that because I know some people probably think that I hate Apple all the time and can't say any good things about Apple. So I was just saying that to say, no, I see it. I see what they're doing. Just because I don't own one. I have a MacBook Pro for work, but just because I don't own an Apple product on my own doesn't mean that I hate them unequivocally. What else are you going to be talking about on Horse Lounge Radio tonight?
Like you said, it's going to set a precedent. All right. We're going to start off with a pair of Twitch topics at the top of the show tonight. Yes, we're going to get into the thing you didn't want to talk about tonight, but with reason. It may go a different direction than you guys expect, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about retro collections. Capcom Arcade appears to be growing. They're going to be adding more to it, and they're going to put it on more platforms, but they're charging for some very interesting things that also are very much really? Like, you know, you're just driving people to emulators with that, but we'll see. Oh, and I love this. After a year and a half, Google finally adding its primary product to Stadia. Love that.
Nice. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. And interact with the show directly. Somebody pointed out in chat, they noticed that I do have hackers behind me. And so since it's the end of the show and there's a lot more people watching here on Twitch, the reason I have Hackers, the movie on Laserdisc behind me, is once again, congratulations to them. It was released on September 15th, 1995, which, by the way, was 1,337 weeks ago. This is the only time ever we will be able to make this joke about this particular movie. So it was leet weeks ago that Hackers came out in theaters in the United States. Congratulations to Hackers. You can be with us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. That's where I'm going to be reading things throughout the week. That's where all the Apple versus the Epic Games versus Apple topic came from, because multiple people said they wanted me to talk about it this week. So that's how you can influence the show, or you can find me over on Twitter at Bobby Blackwolf. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we wouldn't want to make it. This wouldn't be work. This wouldn't work. It's not work. But this wouldn't work without the support of everybody that's out there, either on the podcast feed or here live. Thank you so much. We had a lot of support, especially last week during OLR, and so that was amazing. So I'm going to go ahead and hit this button to get out of here, so we can get to OLR and get to talking about other stuff. So, take care of yourself. Wash your hands. Still wear a mask. Get the shot if you can get it. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.